Welcome, welcome everybody. This is Joanna Lindenbaum, as you guys know. And we are here after a couple of weeks break from Curriculum Lab for the first of three online facilitation calls. Before we jump in, I was alerted last minute, thank you so much, Rana, that some of you may not have received. I had a little what to bring list for our work today. So I just want to tell you what I was hoping you would have on hand with you now so that you can gather it while I just kind of talk a little bit about what's going to happen today before we actually go into our experiential space together. Hopefully some of you got the note. I'm going to look in and see what happened, why some of you got it, why not. But you know, if you can't grab all of these items, no worries. We'll just use law of adaptation and we'll make it work no matter what. But if you could grab these things to have with you, that would be great. So a candle, any kind of candle, any color, any size, doesn't matter, and something to light it with. Your journal and a pen. If you've got crayons or markers, if not, no worries, but if you have crayons or markers, that would be great. Three pieces of paper, separate from the journal writing. We're going to be doing something else, preferably paper with outlines, like blank paper, but if you don't have that, either will do. And then probably most people are not like me, that you just keep rocks and stones around your house, or maybe you are. If you have a rock or a stone around your house, that would be great. If you don't, this can really be any item. So a piece of jewelry that you like, an article of clothing that you like would be fine too, maybe something that you keep on your desk with you. So if you don't have a rock or stone, really any other object will do. Okay, so hopefully you guys have all of that. You can gather that while I just introduce the work that we're going to be doing today and the work that we're going to be doing this month over the next three calls. I'm so happy to offer these three bonus calls in this program. And I want to extend a welcome back not just to the people who were with me in this summer's Curriculum Lab, but we invited folks from last summer's Curriculum Lab to join us for these three bonus calls. So just a welcome to all of you. I'm so happy to be here with all of you. And you know, these three calls that we're going to have this month, these online facilitation calls, there's a couple of purposes to these bonus calls. So number one, it's going to be a way to really bring together all of the ideas and skills that we've looked at in Curriculum Lab into an experiential, something for you to experience, right? So far in Curriculum Lab, I've been doing a lot of teaching, a lot of talking, you know, sharing, but I haven't been able to really model for you. And so in these calls, I'm going to be modeling online facilitation for you. And so you'll also have an opportunity to do some inner work, which is always a bonus, at least for me. Hopefully through these calls, I'll be able to show you not just some facilitation techniques, but specifically online facilitation techniques and how you can push the envelope a little bit in terms of what you think is possible by way of facilitation and experiential exercises over the phone or online. You know, and of course, online facilitation has some crossover with in-person facilitation, so there'll be some crossover for sure, but it is also really different. So even for those of you that are going to be in person with me this year in our facilitator training, there are some similarities, but I put this in there because it's also different from online facilitation. I want you to be able to see a little bit the difference. I always believe that one of the best ways to train is through modeling and demonstration. And so that's really one of the biggest reasons for these calls is, I get to like really impart that knowledge to you, and we get to do it together through me modeling and demonstrating and you experiencing. So the way that these three calls will work, today's call and then our third call at the end of September, they're both going to, the bulk of them will be experiential work. We'll be doing exercises, ceremony, all of that. I'm going to be taking you through ceremony, actually, online. And then we're going to have time, after that, probably the ceremony, the experiential work will be somewhere between 45, 60 minutes. And then we're going to have time to break down the skills that I used to see how to apply this to your own curricula. And if you have any questions, we can also use that as Q&A time if we have. Our middle call, the call that we'll be having on September 12th, I'm not sure yet. It might go just like these other two calls where we have the experiential and we break down, but I'm playing around still with it being a little bit different. It might be a little bit more of a teaching call because there's some specific topics about containers and online groups over time that I'm thinking I might want to, would be helpful to share with you. Whenever I think of facilitation, I think of what's happening in this moment, this session, our call today, but then the facilitation over time. So we'll see how that goes. And then just the last little info logistics piece that I wanted to share with you is our Facebook group, is going to be open through the end of this month. And I know we're not like, hot and heavy like we were over the summer with developing your curriculum. And, I've been out of the office for a little bit. I'm back. But the Facebook group is there for you to continue to receive exactly what you need around your curriculum development. I know a lot of you are still working on your curriculum. Please feel free. I love, there's been posting. Please feel free to post. Let me know what you need. Let me know where you're stuck. Let me know if you've tested it out and how it's worked for you. I know there are already so many celebrations. And the Facebook group will also be open. Just if you have any questions that come up through these online facilitation calls that you want to ask me in between sessions. So it's that the Facebook group is there for you. Please use it as you need. Okay, so hopefully I've given you enough time to gather your materials if you didn't already have them. We're going to be spending the next 45 minutes or so moving into more sacred space. And so in order to do that, I really want to encourage you to make this sacred space for yourself. Our days are, for so many of us, is like, a little chaotic and busy. We're constantly plugged into technology. And what I'd really like to provide for you over the next 45 minutes or so, in addition to training, is to give yourself the gift of being in sacred space, of really intentionally moving away from the mundane and stepping into time and space and energy that is just for you, that is nourishing for you, that isn't distracting. I recently read something, And I'll just paraphrase, but basically, it's said that, one of the reasons why in the modern world we don't take as much pleasure in our lives is that we don't allow ourselves to be immersive. We don't allow ourselves to be fully present. We're constantly distracted by technology and busyness that we never really, no, I shouldn't say never, but we don't often have spaces where we can fully sink in and settle and be there. And that's really what I would love to give to you and for you to give to yourself right now. So I invite you to turn away from the computer, maybe even go into a totally different room if you can, unless you're listening to me over the computer, but to just really turn away from the screen so that you don't get distracted by dings and pings and and just like, oh my gosh, let me check, right? It's so easy to go there. I invite you to turn the ringer off on your phone. I invite you to get into a comfortable place and space. I know for me, a lot of time when I go into doing inner work, I like to sit on the floor as opposed to, at the table or in a really comfy chair. So take a moment and really, like I said, give yourself the gift of sacred space, of being in sacred space as we go into our inner work and our experience for today. And I invite you, wherever you are, to close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, let that act be a signal to your body and your mind and your heart and your soul and your psyche. Let it be a signal that you are moving into sacred time and space, that you are moving into internal time and space just for you. Feel where your body is making connection with your seat or the ground beneath you. And allow some energy, any extra energy that's been floating around in your mind space, just allow that to easily move down into your body. Allow your body to take any energy that it needs that's been extra in that headspace. And anything extra, just let it move to that place where you're making connection to the ground beneath you. So let your energy and even some of your body weight shift downwards just a little bit. Moving to the ground and to the earth beneath that. Take a few moments to become aware that somewhere beneath you is the earth, the mother. And as you begin to pay attention to your breath, become aware that that earth is always there for you, supporting you, grounding you, that you have access to that connection whenever you need it, and to that vast energy, infinite energy supply. And then focusing on your breath, watch the inhale and the exhale. With each inhale, allow yourself to open up, to take in exactly what you need. And with each exhale, allow yourself to let go what no longer serves. Inhaling, opening up, filling up with what you need. Exhaling and releasing, hugging inward. Using the breath to connect deeply with your body. Using the breath to connect deeply with the infinite wisdom that is stored inside your body. Using the breath to begin to connect with all parts of yourself. Calling all of you home. And using the breath to connect with spirit. To remember that there is something greater than you, with you, around you at all moments. And then also as you breathe, using the breath to attune to the cycles of the earth and the moon. Even if you don't know what that means, just allowing yourself to begin to attune. And to attune to this incredible circle of people that are coming together right here, right now on this call. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. And then allowing your eyes to slowly, slowly flutter open. And as they open, find a detail in the room that you're in the environment that you're in, maybe one that you've never noticed, even if you know this room really well, a crack in the paint, the way a shadow is falling into the room, the way a piece of furniture looks. Notice a detail and just take a moment to take pleasure in that detail. And now this is the moment, if you have a candle, to very intentionally take a moment and light the candle. Light it as a way of signaling to yourself and to spirit that you're fully present and showing up here. And so together we'll light that hearth. And with this flame, we honor our mother and her mother and her mother before and all of the mothers and the grandmothers and the sisters and the aunties and the friends who have lit flames in order to warm their families. We honor the women who have lit flames to bring their communities together. And we honor the women who have lit flames in order to remember their fire, the fire that they hold inside. We honor those women and we ask that they be with us during our time today. Deep breath in and out. So, this coming Sunday evening at exactly 7:14 p.m. Eastern, the moon will appear again in the sky after having disappeared for a day or two. She will appear again, renewed, new again, ready for a new cycle, ready for a new beginning, ready to initiate something new, ready to grow again into her fullness. It was just 2 weeks before that the moon was completely full in the sky, in her full glory, in her full ripeness, showing off, shining brightly. And in just 2 weeks, she'll be there again. And today, on this very auspicious day, we are in the moments, we are in the days right before the new moon. We are at the end of one cycle and just about beginning to start a new one. Over the last few weeks, since the moon has been full, she has been slowly waning, 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 letting go, and getting smaller, and getting smaller, and releasing, and releasing, and releasing some more. And today, we step into the darkest days of the month, the last few days before the new moon, where she is getting smaller and smaller and barely visible in the sky. And that dark of the moon, these darkest nights of the month right before the new moon, are a sacred moment for releasing, for cleaning our metaphorical houses, for truly and deeply cleansing in order to get ready for the next cycle, to let go of what doesn't serve. The moon for millennia has been revered, has been honored, has been held sacred. She's a sacred reminder, whether we still have our wombs or not, whether we're still menstruating or not, the moon is a sacred reminder of the cycles and that we are daughters of the earth, that women have the magical ability to begin again each month, to set sacred intentions that we can grow and manifest each month, that it's our birthright to shine just as when she's full, and it's also our birthright to release, and it is also our birthright to start again. For millennia, women gathered to honor the moments of the moon, to come together as community, to put aside the daily distractions of life and step into sacred space in order to honor our cycles that are mirrored in the moon phases, in order to connect deeply with our desires and ourselves, and in order to learn more about our true nature. And that's why we're here today and this month on the new moon. She finds herself in the astrological sign of Virgo. And so as we sit right now, in the few days before this new moon in Virgo, we have access to do really sacred and important and deep work around this sign. So Virgo is often called the Virgin. But she's actually not a virgin in the way that we think of her, you know, these days, right? In terms of that physical, you know, still hasn't had sexual intercourse. That's not who the Virgin is. The Virgin is she who is already whole unto herself. I'm going to say that again. The Virgin is she who is already whole unto herself. She is unattached. She's free. She's self-sufficient. She's unconstrained. She is owned by a man or any other. The Virgin is she who is whole, complete, and grounded in herself. And because she is so whole and complete and grounded in herself, it makes Virgo the perfect energy to be of service as well. Virgo loves service. The Virgos were the priestesses in the old times. And what can sometimes happen is that love of service and that striving for wholeness, or I guess the wholeness is already there, but that commitment to it sometimes can make Virgo a little bit of a perfectionist. And that's one of the big pieces that we're going to be looking at today, perfectionism. Now, it's so easy to shrug off looking at perfectionism because we've all heard about it before. We all know about it. And so many of us have done really good work on perfectionism already. But perfectionism is a really powerful energy. And if you're willing to take a look even more deeply, it can help you shift to even more compassion, self-love, and even more effective results. So I want to talk about perfectionism just briefly before we really start looking. We all know about the perfectionist, the one that is so striving to get it all right that she gets nitpicky and probably judgmental about herself and about others. When we go into perfectionist mode, we're actually operating not in real life anymore. We're operating under a myth. And that myth is that human beings can be perfect and create perfect things and have perfect lives. Which, of course, if we just take a step back and look at it, it's just not true, right? I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect anything. Not a perfect human being, not a perfect coaching program, not a perfect business, not a perfect relationship. Perfection is for the gods. It's for the gods. It's not for the human beings. But when we get into our perfectionist selves, we forget and we think that we're gods in a way that can create this. When we go into perfectionist thinking, we're also moving into black and white thinking, right? Which is really either this is complete perfection or this is complete failure. Black or white, nothing in between, right? But again, the truth is like where real life is, and I think where the joy of life is, but where us humans are in the middle of those two things. So when we can move out of that nitpicky perfectionism, so much is available to us, so much flow, so much openness, so much more compassion, and so much more of life. So those are the energies that we're going to be working with today. We're going to be exploring the places in your life where your perfectionism shows up, as well as where your true Virgo lives inside of you, that highest version of she who is whole and complete unto herself. And we're going to do this all so that you can really step more and more into that whole version of your, into that part of you that's complete and grounded and so very competent. And so I want you to take a moment just so we can begin to dip into this and jot down some of your thoughts on this question. What's the difference between wholeness and perfection? What's the difference between being whole and being perfect? I'll give you about a minute on that. What's the difference between being whole and being perfect? Next question, I've got a couple of journaling questions here for you. In what areas of your life does perfectionism or black and white thinking show up? Where in your life? Get as specific as possible, right? So even, for example, in your business, maybe your perfectionist doesn't show up in your marketing copy, but she does show up in your sessions with clients or whatever it is. Where does your perfectionist or that black or white thinking show up in your life? What are the inner and outer results of your perfectionism? And some might be positive, probably some are positive and some are negative, right? So what are some of the results of your perfectionism? Results would be, you know, maybe you still haven't launched your website because you keep on going back to perfect it, to make sure it's just exactly what it needs to be. Or maybe you're constantly judging yourself and maybe saying some not nice things to yourself. Maybe you still haven't you know, you're not happy in the relationship that you're in because you're looking for a kind of perfection that doesn't exist. Or maybe your perfectionist has gotten you to better and better and better relationships. Right, so what are the inner and outer results of your perfectionism? Next question. What does your inner perfectionist trick you into thinking? What does your inner perfectionist trick you into thinking? And another way to think about this question is, what are the beliefs that your very strict perfectionist holds? What does she believe, your strict perfectionist? Give you another moment with that one. Really think even about the beliefs underneath the beliefs, or what she's tricking you into believing. What does that strict perfectionist really want you to believe? And then last question for right now. For all those places that your perfectionist shows up, if instead of striving for perfection, you would see yourself or others, and others can be other people or other things, what would happen if you saw yourself and others as whole in those situations? What might open up? I'll give you a moment with that one. Okay, we've still got a lot more work to do here, but I would like to hear from one or two of you on what you're seeing so far for yourself. We just started to kind of toe dip into this. So at star two, what are you seeing for yourself so far? Leah.
Hey, so obviously, I've been doing some work around this stuff. But I see that perfectionism is linked to my shadow, mm-hmm. In the sense that a lot of the, like, beliefs around success and results in my, like, marketing and my business, and also I guess I'm seeing it in my, like, what I strive for in relationships. I joke that my generation is the Disney generation, that we grew up believing in Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's interesting pieces there. The thing that's like kind of coming through is, I've obviously been doing work so I can see where it stopped me and it's been stopping me in terms of like a specific belief is like, if this doesn't work, my whole business is a failure. Like that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
stuff
yeah.
Around marketing. But a new piece that I'm seeing today for the moment I'm in is, which will be a continued conversation, but basically that who I'm in a relationship with has some level to do with, like, validation of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something interesting there that I haven't fully unpacked, but, yeah.
Yeah, I can see how there's something there. Good. So that would be one to do, to go do some deeper journaling with. Good.
Yep.
Beautiful. Okay, take another hand here. Rana.
Hey, Joanna. I appreciate your questions, and I can see in some areas of my life where that perfectionism shows up, and some places where I'm struggling right now and with this is the coming into harmony with letting go of the perfectionism while still holding myself and others to higher standards.
Yeah.
Versus what I'm referring to, these are my words, of the pattern of being consistently inconsistent.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels really important, and it feels like maybe even doing a little bit more for yourself on defining the difference between perfection and holding to a higher standard could be really useful, because it will allow you to feel, because I think, your perfectionist is looking for safety, to know that you will still be holding to that higher standard. So kind of knowing the difference between the two could be really useful. Does that resonate?
It does. And in fact, what part of my answer was looking at that higher standard place.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing for vulnerability and opportunities to learn and grow without going into what I wrote down as the punishing energy of perfection.
Yeah.
And I can see where I can do that to myself and I can do it to others. Fascinating, of course, right?
Good.
And where that can start to be an excuse. Well, I'm not perfect, so I can just half-ass my way through stuff.
Right.
That comes up for me as well.
Good. Beautiful.
Yep.
Great work. Good. I know there's a lot of hands up. I'm going to take one more since we still have a lot to do. Jamie.
Hi. So what was really helpful for me was, what does your inner perfectionist trick you into thinking? And so I'm realizing also that this is a form of resistance for me, because it's tricking me into thinking that I'm not good enough, so that I will then fail, so then don't try, so that we stay safe.
Yeah, it's such a wheel of self-sabotage there, right?
Yeah, totally.
You start out wanting to be perfect, and that devolves into, well, I can't be perfect. You actually can't, right? And that devolves into, well, then that must mean I'm not good enough, which then devolves into, well, I guess I'm not going to do it then. And then you go into a resting period until you, like, muster up the inspiration again, but the inspiration is to be perfect, and there you are on that wheel all over again. Beautiful. Good. Great awareness. Okay, let's continue on. So where I want to go next is kind of the next layer here, the next level. I want to give you an opportunity to really come face to face with your inner perfectionist and to learn from her. So we're going to do a little bit, a short visualization. So get comfy. I invite you to close your eyes. And as you take a couple of deep breaths, I invite you to see an elevator in front of you. And this is an elevator that is going to take you to the most sacred and safe place inside of yourself. It's going to take you 7 flights down to that deep, safe, and sacred space. And be in your body as you walk into the elevator here. Maybe see the elevator doors close and be in that elevator going down to that safe and sacred place, down to the 6th floor and the 5th floor, and just be in that elevator as you go down to this place inside of you that really knows, to the 4th floor and the 3rd floor, and just keep on going down to this safe, intuitive, wise, sacred space inside of you, down all the way down to the 1st floor, and watch as the elevator doors open. And be in your body as you walk out into an environment of this safe, sacred, wise, all-knowing place inside of you. Maybe it's an environment in nature. And take a moment and just take in with all 5 senses what this place, this deep, safe, sacred space inside of you is like. Notice what you see. Notice if it's hot or cold. Notice if there are any sounds or smells. And I invite you in this safe and sacred and wise place, this all-knowing place, I invite you to call forward in human form your inner perfectionist. So call forward in human form your inner perfectionist. And as this one begins to show up in front of you, really take this one in. Notice what gender this inner perfectionist is. Notice if this one is young or old. Notice what your inner perfectionist is wearing. How this one wears her hair. What's the expression on the face? Really take this one in. And if it feels okay, only if it feels okay, as you see your inner perfectionist in front of you, take this one by the hands so that you connect through the eyes. And connect through the touch, only if it feels right. And maybe even connect through the breath. Maybe you see that you're breathing in sync with your inner perfectionist. And I invite you to connect deeply with this one. And to ask this one, and you may hear the answer, see the answer, just sense the answer. Ask this one, How old were you when your perfectionist came into your life? Ask this one to let you know how old you were when it came into your life. And then ask this one, what event or series of events brought this one into being in your life? So as you connect with your perfectionist, ask what event or series of events brought you into my life. Breathing, connecting even more deeply with the perfectionist. And ask this one who it's modeled on. Is there anyone in your life that this perfectionist is modeled on? And then as you connect even more deeply, really see this perfectionist connect, ask this one why, what is the deeper purpose of why it's in your life? Ask, why are you in my life? What is your purpose? And ask it, what is it most scared of? Inhaling and exhaling, connecting a little more deeply with this perfectionist. And ask it from its highest wisdom, what is it that it really wants you to know? What is the sacred message that your perfectionist has for you? What's the sacred message that it wants you to know? And then finally, ask your perfectionist, what is a more compassionate and loving and effective way that the two of you can work together? What's a better way for the two of you to work together for you? Because there's a lot that your perfectionist can do for you in its highest self. And then, if it feels right, if you're not already holding hands with your perfectionist, I invite you to take hands with this one, with the highest version of this perfectionist. And ask your perfectionist through the hands and through the circle that the two of you are making with your hands together, ask it to balance out its energy inside of you so that you're in perfect alignment with your perfectionist energy. And you'll feel the energy start to move from one hand to the next, and you'll know when the energy is balanced out. And when it's done, just take a moment, really thank your inner perfectionist. Thank it for all the wisdom that it brought and all that it brought to you today. And then allow it to fade into the distance. and go directly back to the elevator. Watch as the elevator doors close in front of you, coming back up the second floor and the third floor, just back to full presence, to the fifth floor, the sixth floor, just back to this full moment right here, all the way up to the seventh floor, this very moment in time and space. And as the elevator doors open, you can open your eyes, taking a couple of nice, enervating, energizing deep breaths in and out. And just take a moment right now and jot down any notes, anything that's important from that visualization that you want to remember, that you want to note for yourself. Okay, we still have more work to do here, but I'd love to hear from just briefly from one or two of you on anything that came through in that visualization that feels important. Perdiz.
Hi. I raised my hand before you said it has to feel really important. I don't know how important it is, but it was an eye-opener for me because what was ironic was that my, I call her my IP, my interview person, she wasn't perfect. And if anything, she was, you know, she looked old, falling apart kind of, a nag. And what she had said to me was, look, I'm obviously not perfect, but I'm kind of afraid of not being utilized in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So what I saw was that I could use her to make sure that I make lists, that I'm organized, that I do my work to the best that I could be, but that not to the point that I'm afraid and I don't have confidence and then I'm paralyzed. So,
yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
That's such the perfect use for your inner perfectionist. It's such a beautiful way to use her. Love it.
Yeah. And she said to me, and she even said to me, like, look, I don't look perfect, so, you know, you don't have to be all of that to still be utilizing a perfectionist energy to your highest benefit.
Yeah. Beautiful. Good. Ale.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
So my inner perfectionist was actually a Roman legionnaire, a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And it came when I was 7, when I was in school. The school was the trigger for to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked him what for, he said, actually to protect me. Because I grew up very poor and not so beautiful, to bring me out of this place. He was giving me the force and the strive to do it, you know, to do skills, to learn, to develop, to go further. And the thing then was to put down the armor and to co-work together. And I feel this already in my life that I definitely have perfectionist tendencies. And I had them very strong, but lately I get more relaxed and it's more like, it's not that it makes me run anymore. It's more like the nice push to keep going.
Yeah, I got the chills when you were talking. I just could really feel how important that perfectionist was when you were 7 and how that warrior really saved you. And how now that you're an adult, you need it in a different way, not in that same way anymore.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, there are more hands raised, and hopefully when at the very end, I want to hear from more of you, but we still have some ritual work to do. So I'm going to continue for right now. So I mentioned earlier that this time of the month, right before the new moon, is the most powerful moment to do release work, to release something that is just not serving us, some belief or idea or relationship or object or part of our schedule or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, ritual, what we're about to do, I'll just say a little bit about it. I always learned that ritual was sacred play. And what that means is that we're taking a desire inside of us that doesn't that isn't tangible, and we're going to make it tangible so that our soul and our psyche and our mind can really go with it, move with it, flow with it. Now, the thing about release work is this. Sometimes in circle, sometimes in ritual, sometimes in ceremony, we release something and then that's it. Gone. It's done. We've released it. When that happens, that's really awesome. But sometimes what happens, usually more often than not, is that it's a release process. When we release in ceremony, maybe it's the first time we're releasing and we're kick-starting a very powerful process of release over time, or maybe we've released this thing before and we're going deeper with it, right? So we're going to do some letting go using really this energy of the month right now. And so based on all of the work that we've done so far today around the perfectionist and black and white thinking, what is something that you know you are ready to let go of? Maybe it's a belief, maybe it's a habit, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a part of your schedule or something in your business. What do you know you're really ready to release? And whatever that thing is, I want to invite you to take one of your pieces of paper, your blank pieces of paper, it's fine if it's lined, and very intentionally write on that piece of paper what it is that you're ready to release. I want you to write down what it is you're ready to release. Do this with intention, because we want to almost make this piece of paper symbolize this thing that you're ready to release. And after you've written this thing down that you're ready to let go of, that you know no longer serves you, I want you to take that piece of paper in your hand and almost pretend, like I said, that this piece of paper represents this thing that you're ready to let go of. And first thing, when it's in your hands, I want you to feel the burden of carrying this thing. Feel the weight of it. Feel, you know, that impact, how it's maybe held you back. Before we release anything, it's so important to honor it, right? Because you've held on to it up until now, because it's served you in some way. Maybe it's protected you. Maybe it's kept you safe. Maybe it's helped you achieve something, right? So take a moment, whatever this thing is that you're ready to release, take a moment to honor how it has served. Maybe it's kept you connected to someone in your life. It's kept maybe somebody's memory alive for you by holding on to this thing, right? Whatever it is, honor all the ways that it served you. Just really honor it. Be in gratitude. And let it know you're grateful and also that it's time. And you can almost speak this out loud if you want. Let it know why it's time to release it, why you're ready to let it go, why now is the moment for you in your life. Beautifully and tenderly, just let it know. And now is the moment you get to release. So I want to invite you, if you're near a bathroom, you can go to the toilet. If not, you don't have to. You get to choose how you want to do this. You can either rip up that piece of paper. You can rip it up and flush it down the toilet or put it in the toilet, whatever is going to be meaningful for you. And I invite you to do it intentionally. Release this thing. Rip it up. Flush it down the toilet. Continue to see it through. And once it's completely ripped up, or once you're flushing it down, you can just kind of clean your hands of it. You shake, shake, shake. Just say, be gone, be gone, be gone. I bless you, I thank you, and be gone. And then take a deep breath in and out. And so I said before we go there, just take a moment, see how you feel in your body. And if you need to just even shake it out a little bit more, release a little bit more, you can do that. Shake, 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 release. Good. And so I mentioned earlier that Virgo, this woman who is whole and complete unto herself, for millennia, the Virgos, they were the priestesses. That was a sign of the priestess. She who has connection to spirit, to something greater than her. And I invite you to stand up, wherever you are, to stand up. Feel your feet on the ground. And if you can put your phone down, whatever, if you can be hands-free, that's great. If not, you can do this with your phone in your hand. I want you to do, this is one of the poses of the priestesses. I want you to raise your right hand to the heavens and your left hand down to the earth so that you're a bridge between heaven and earth. Just take a moment. Right hand up to the heavens, left hand down. Close your eyes and just see if you can feel some of that energy moving from above into you and down below. And from this priestess place, I invite you to hear, to channel, to hear the message that spirit wants you to remember right now. It's probably a very short message, maybe just a few words. What is it that you need to remember most? What is that message from spirit? And then take a piece of paper. If you've got crayons or markers, you can use those. If not, pen, and write that message on the piece of paper. And you can just start out and make the words now and later on after our ceremony. You can make it really beautiful with colors and whatever it is. Write down that sacred message. Thank you. I'll give you another minute to do that. And then finally, our last piece here is to set an intention. So now that we've released, now that we've heard what we need to know in various ways, as we approach the new moon on Sunday night, this opportunity for a new cycle, this opportunity to initiate. What is your intention for this month? It can be something outer, like to go to yoga class more, or, you know, whatever it is. It can be something inner around being more gentle and compassionate. What is that? And I find that with intentions, simpler is more powerful. So what is that intention that you really, it's like a sacred intention for this month. And whatever it is, take your rock or your stone or your piece of jewelry. We're going to use that object to, we're going to infuse it with your intention for this month. So take the rock in your hand. And with your intention on your mind and in your heart and in your body, infuse the rock with your intention. You can breathe your intention onto the rock. You can hold the rock to your heart or on your belly. Make that intention tangible. Take one more moment, really infusing the rock with whatever your sacred intention is. And if you're not standing, take a moment and stand up. Feel the rock in your hand. And when I say three, I'll count to three. On the count of three, we'll all set our intentions together. I invite you to say out loud, my sacred intention is, and then say what your intention is. So on the count of three, one, two, three. Really set that intention strongly and deeply. And you can keep that rock or whatever it is close to you over the next month. Connect with it every day. Let it re-energize your intention and remind you of it. So I'm just thinking about this amazing circle of people that have come together today and also who will be listening to this recording. And I'm just really imagining us, even though we're in various places all over the world, I'm imagining us together in circle. In so saying, the work of this circle is done, but really only just begun. May you return to your ordinary lives, extraordinary women. May you walk with the highest version, with the most compassionate version of the perfectionist in your heart, knowing that you are a woman whole and complete unto yourself. May all of your actions inspire and nourish you and make a positive impact on the world. our circle is open. Okay. Yay. So we're going to shift modes here for the time that we have left and move. We'll still be in sacred space, but we'll move a little bit more into mundane training space, because I'd love to break down what we just all experienced together, look at some of the curriculum pieces, look at some of the facilitation pieces, and answer your questions. So I'd love to hear from you, what are some of the curriculum and facilitation pieces that you noticed that are important for you to note here? What are some things that stood out to you? What did you see? Star two. Paradis.
I noticed you didn't seem to have an issue with starting off. It felt like you started off with a good part of journaling, which I don't normally do. So I noticed that. And then also you made sure to implement sharing. And you also didn't allow it to go on for too long.
Yeah. So the sharing, I mean, in a perfect world, we would have like 2 hours just for the circle, so we could do a lot of sharing. But in the format that we had, where I still wanted to have some time for us to break down, you know, just so you guys know, like facilitation, and I would have liked to have had more sharing in there, but I did at least want to have some so that we could hear each other's voices and have that opportunity. Great. Thank you. Rana.
Hi. So right off the bat, you activated that law of adaptation. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
And
talk
like
a little bit more about
creative
that.
With that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit more.
You know, for example, you know, not having received the email with regard to the things to bring. And how sometimes that can really freak people out and get them into panic mode of like, oh, my God, I don't have the stuff and I can't do this. And I've witnessed that in other kinds of groups. And so seeing how you just so smoothly, you know, activated that was really quite beautiful. And it was done in a bit of a different way than I've seen it modeled in the past, where if you don't have those things, then it's a huge miss. But there were lessons as a result of that to learn as well. So I can definitely see it from the both and perspective. And why
and I think
it can be so important.
Yeah, it depends on the context. And for today,
yeah.
It was like, yep. I want everyone to just be able to experience and be in it, right, and not panic. So it's like, you know, here's what you need. If not, no worries. We can adjust this in different ways.
Yes.
Good. Great. Tanya.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I loved that you... how you modeled connecting these more esoteric themes or you know, concepts like connecting with the moon and the Virgo energy to the perfectionist cycle and black and white thinking. I feel like that was just really masterful. I love that. And then, I mean, I noticed how you addressed the resistance going deeper with this work when you talked about the perfectionist and how, like, maybe we've done that work before, but yeah.
I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. Did you guys notice I actually did all the steps of the journey, right? So I had the steps 1 through 3 before the methodology. That was all of the introduction and the inspiration and the why, to, you know, and then addressing the resistance, and then the journaling and the visualization and the release and the channeling, and then you know, that was all the methodology, you know, to take the hero through, to be able to move through some of the perfectionist pieces. And then at the end, I had the integration and the synthesis pieces as well. So even in this kind of ritual setting, still moving through that fuller journey. Awesome. And yeah, you know, the point about the esoteric and the practical, that's what do I want to say about that? That's my, like, for me, that is often how I teach, bringing the two together, and I think that can be helpful for a lot of people. And also some people are just like all esoteric, energetic, without the, you know, bringing it into some of those other ways, and that's, you know, that can be very powerful too. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you for bringing all that forward. Fran. Oh, whoops, hold on. Fran.
Hi.
Hi.
I was really appreciating how you, more than once, you called us into the presence to, you know, at first you were saying to, like, shut away distractions, and but then I could even hear it also in your presence and your voice, that when we were stepping, once you had walked us all the way through step one through three, and then we were going into the methodology in four, then we were really going into the sacred ritual, your tone and your energy shifted into the sacredness of it and even slowed down a little bit. And you also spoke to that. And you also did that a couple of other times, again, when we were going to do something that was the action, because we had flowed in and out of some reflection and sharing and then back into being in the ritual, that was very powerful to feel your energy and also to call the group's attention to it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing this forward. I mean, for in-person, but especially for online facilitation, where as facilitators, we can't control as much of the environment and container as we can in person, right? Because we're not all physically in the room. We really, like as facilitators, we want to really think about what can we utilize to really hold the container if we can't set up the space and we can't, you know, all of that. And one of the things is our voices, for sure. And then also just the giving instructions in ways that don't feel like too heavy, but to be able to create that container. Really glad you're bringing that up. Thank you. Amelia.
Hi, Joanna. I actually had a question that came up when you said that you did all steps of the journey. So I was just curious, like, what was the hero's start and end point when crafting?
Yeah. So loosely, you know, I'd say the hero's starting point for this would be someone whose inner perfectionist was a little bit overworking and getting in their way of either accomplishing things or being loving or gentle with yourself, you're somehow getting in your way. And then the end point, you know, of course, is just, you know, an hour's worth of time, but the end point for this would be, you know, more awareness around that inner perfectionist, more awareness around how it operates in your life, why it's there, and ways to work in a more friendly way with it.
Thank you.
That makes sense? Yeah?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Anyone else want to talk about? I've got some things. Well, let me ask you, What did you notice about the four levels of transformation and how I use them in the exercises? So if you remember, we took a look at mental, the intellectual level of learning, the heart level of learning, the spirit level of learning, and the body level of learning. Anything that you want to share around what you observed with that and how I used that? Amelia.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this question because while I was listening, I totally picked up on you mentioned the quote, because when you were doing like step one on like why we were here, and you mentioned about sacred space, and you mentioned a quote, and it wasn't like super sciencey, but it was like it's a quote from somewhere. So it really activated my intellectual, mental side of getting me on board, like, okay, yes, I need to take this sacred space thing seriously and not just, not that I would, but, you know, not just roll my eyes and like, yeah, well, I'm still going to have my phone or I'm still going to be by my computer. And then there was definitely the body stuff when we took the seven flights down and you mentioned, like, anything you see, hear, and maybe even anything you smell. And it was funny because I did have a scent in mind before you said it, but then when you said it, it helped me activate that more and get more in my body. So those were two things. But my favorite thing, I was just like, oh, a quote. That can easily be something quickly that you can activate that mental thing to get them on board.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I think there's a couple of things you were talking to that I want to pull out a little bit more. One, just back to the resistance. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I really called out resistance or worked with resistance or spoke, you know, invited you to let go of your resistances in a couple of different ways, both when I, you know, as Tanya mentioned earlier, when I said, oh, you know, we've all done work on the perfectionist before, but here's why it's a good reason to look at it again. And also when I was talking about how we get so distracted, right? That was a little bit of resistance work. And, you know, you're going to want to not be fully present here, but here's what's available to you if you do commit to that. And then in terms of the four levels, yeah, so, you know, the journaling, you know, I would call that more of like a mental, intellectual level activity, you know, and then we moved into the visualization, and, you know, that could fall into a number of categories, you know, heart a little bit, the body, the release was a lot about body, and, you know, you could say spirit, definitely the channeling, the priestess pose, that spirit level, and then again, the ritual, you know, the intention setting on the rock, physical, spirit, mental, you know, kind of like all of the above. All right, anything else that you guys want to ask today or share before we're complete for today, just around anything that we experienced, anything that you need? Star two. All right. Well, then I'll trust that we're complete for today. Your homework is to go back into your curriculum and just integrate like anything that you saw, that you learned, any little tricks, any openings from today's call, you know, integrate into your curriculum. I'd love to hear what's resonating for you in the Facebook group, and even just from like the content, you know, what you're learning more about your perfectionist. We had so many hands up for both the journaling and the visualization. I'd love to hear more what you're taking from that, and I'm wishing all of you a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.